Welcome. This is Winning at Life Live Financial Talk Radio. That's my Winning at Life voice. Hey, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome. Excited to be here. No more preemptions on weeknight shows for months. So you're getting financial talk every night. Well, we take Sundays off. We do it 10 to 1 on Saturdays, and this is Live Financial News Talk Radio. If you'd like to join the conversation, get the phone, make the call. 504-260-0995. We can talk about annuities. I have annuity discussions today, mostly on the fixed side. I've got something I'm going to get James to ask me about. Had a discussion regarding maxing out your tax bracket, and it just came up in conversation but wasn't a focus. But you know what? I think we need to talk about that more. You know, if you've got a money situation, whether it's debt, not sure what to do, that 401k, can you do in-service rollovers? That might be a topic as well. I saw on Maria this morning, one of the nominees for the Federal Reserve, for I guess one of the board members for the Federal Reserve. You know, Herman Cain is one of them. I don't know where he fits into the mix, his background. This other's an economist, but she was really trying to pin him down, like, would you, was predicting, asking him if you would do a rate cut or what. And, you know, he of course has been voicing his opinion, but he was hedging. Mm-hmm. What was real interesting, he's already falling into the mode.
Stephen Moore is his name?
They see a lot more data than what I see, so I'll just defer. She kept at him and he wouldn't say, so it's kind of interesting.
I want to start, I'm your co-host James Parker, this is my Winning at Life voice too. I want to start with,
you sure?
Yeah, with a statistic that's kind of a splash of cold water, because it was just, I think it was last week, we had a guy call in, it might have been 2 weeks ago, saying he had some unfiled tax returns, and you were telling him you need to hurry up and file that, because after 3 years, if they owe you money, you're not going to get it back. So what we have expiring this month, on April 15th, and actually the tax deadline is April 17th for residents in Maine and Massachusetts, but you have to get your back taxes in order to get your refund for 2015. If you don't get it in by the end of next week, or I guess if you don't get in by the 15th or 17th, if you're in those other two states, you're going to lose the unclaimed refunds that are owed to you from 2015. Someone did all the math. $1.4 billion in unclaimed refunds are from 2015 that are going to expire if those taxes aren't filed within the next week.
Wow. Can we put that towards the debt?
Sure.
It's easy.
Like it wasn't spent years ago.
Well, the debt's always more. We spend more than we take in. So, yeah, it automatically gets applied to what we can't afford.
So that's something. It's just a good reminder. If you have unfiled taxes, get it in, because if they owe you money, you're not going to get it after 3 years. And if you wait another week, there's a whole nother year you're not going to get.
Yeah, you must file your return to claim it within 3 years of the return due date. That's crucial. So 4 years out, no, you're not getting it. If you're late on this one, that shaves off that third year automatically there. And it's not something to play with. Somebody said, well, you know, I wasn't going to owe. Okay. They still want you to file the returns, and if you don't do that return, they'll just file it for you. There's no deduction. It's maxed out how they're going to apply it, and you'd rather do it yourself. And you're going to say, well, I'd be getting money back anyhow. Well, do the darn thing and get your money back, because it's going to disappear in 3 years.
There are an estimated 1.2 million Americans who did not file a 2015 tax return yet. And it looks like they're going to be expiring across this deadline next week. So 1.2 million people are owed $1.4 billion. The median unclaimed refund check is about $879. And people are just leaving it on the table because they didn't go do their old returns. And surprisingly enough, there's not a penalty for filing a late return, but there is a penalty if you owe. So it's kind of a catch 22. If you if they owe you and you don't file, they're not going to come after you. They're not going to penalize you or anything. They'll just keep your money and laugh and do some paperwork in the background and then just move on to the next year. But some of that money is about to be gone forever, Gregory.
Yep, it is. So you have till Monday. It's just a few days away, or you need to get an extension in for that tax return that is due. And they'd like you, if you owe them some money, they're going to want that sent to them by Monday as well.
All right. Now, also with the deadline approaching for tax day, this survey got pretty interesting here. Just 17% of people believe their taxes went down for the current tax filing season, which is insane because what we've seen is it's really about 80, a little bit north of 80% of people who actually got some sort of tax cut. Only 17 people surveyed believe it actually went down. 28% believe they're paying more. 27% say they're paying about the same. 28% said, dude, I don't know. That's what I insert for their they don't know enough to say. Dude, I don't know.
Well, one thing I was bringing up earlier is tax brackets. And, you know, just what is your tax bracket? Now, it's progressive tax. So what is your top tax bracket you're paying money into? You know, that's the question there. And then it's different for single and married. And it changes, seems like, year to year. Here's one of the things we were having a discussion about the other day. Family setting in, and because of required minimum distributions, their income's going to go up. There's a discussion today, as an example, and this wasn't about tax bracket management. However, they are in a situation where they're looking at, say, $55,000 a year in income is what they're needing from a gross standpoint to net where they want to be, considering there's a little bit of pension money, there's a couple of Social Security checks, then there's a little bit of income from assets, but they're not really needing much from assets. But all of a sudden, when RMDs start, their income jumps from 55 to 82 and continues upward every year. So when you kind of look at where they're in on a tax bracket for married, filing jointly, that's a range of 12% that goes from $19,051 to $77,400. Now, keep in mind, they each have a $12,000 standard deduction, but you can see where that all of a sudden pushes them up against that next tax bracket at that time. And we were looking at just a conservative outlook. So if the return does indeed add more than that, then yeah, they're pushing through the next, they have money that's going to be taxed at the next level. So they're floating at a good space and they know they've got cushion that even if they needed to turn up some more income right now, they have room to do that and not push into another tax bracket. Now, another case we were looking at where their income's going to bump up significantly in about 5 years. And they had made a comment, it's like, yeah, and we're going to end up paying, you know, like 38% in taxes. And I said, well, and we've had this discussion over the years that you should take more income. This was one of those clients where I negotiated the income saying, you need to take 70K a year. And she said, no, we want to take 40. So we went back and forth and kind of met in the middle on the income. But looking at where their income is now and the bracketing is, gosh, you could take another $30,000 a year income and stay in that 22% bracket. Just looking at the numbers, just simple math there. But I said, you could elect to not do so. That pushes more income to the RMD years where it is going to come out and is going to come out at a higher tax bracket. If we've got to pay taxes on it, let's pay taxes on 22%, pay it at 22% rate and shift it. Not keep saying, you know, I don't need it. I don't want to take it, but you're going to be forced to take it later. So I said, you know what? I'd rather pay 22 than 38. What's that max tax bracket? Well, it's 37, but when you factor in state tax, if you have state tax, you know, then yeah, you're essentially at 40 or more.
Does the conversation ever evolve to where you have to explain to them, you don't have to spend it. We're just going to take it out now. If you want to throw it in the bank, fine, but it's going to come out.
That was the point. It's going to come out at some point. Why not let's peel off? Because if you're taking off more now, your RMDs won't be as bad, but you just keep delaying it. All that's coming out, and it's a growing problem. You know, qualified money, IRAs, 401ks are nasty, tax-infested vehicles. And it escalates when you have to start taking out more than you need because of RMDs, and it keeps growing.
So take it out. If you don't want to spend it, that's fine. It's in an after-tax status now. You can go let it sit in the bank or whatever.
I talk about tax bracket management quite a bit, that, you know, we don't want to move into another tax bracket and pay more if we don't need to. But knowing that we're going to get pushed into that, let's max it right now and take advantage of the discount, because we know one thing that's going to happen with taxes. They're going up in the future.
How did it end up? The nice little compromise made everybody happy now?
We're going to talk more about it.
All right. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, this is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, Live Financial News Talk Radio. We were talking about taxes. Just keep in mind, I am not a CPA, and don't pretend to be. I am a fiduciary and financial advisor. So when we're talking about income, so, you know, one of the things in our process is income planning and the guided planning system that we do. That's our process. And in income planning, we talk about Social Security maximization, income and expense analysis, inflation plan, longevity protection, spousal continuation. And you know what? I go two items down in the process. It's called tax planning, you know, assessing the taxable nature of your current holdings and strategize which tax category to draw from first to reduce tax burden. So if we know the tax burden's growing later, it just makes sense to talk about those gaps. And no, I'm not a CPA, but that's why we also have Jude Heath of J. Heath & Company as a part of our team to back up and crunch numbers, do tax returns such as that. But this is a planning. When you see something glaring like that, yeah, I want to talk about it. And all the areas we cover in that, once again, is income planning, investment planning, tax planning, healthcare planning, and legacy planning. That's where Wes Blanchard of W.J. Blanchard Law works with us on the estate planning side also.
Yeah, well, the tax bracket management, I think people are kind of dismissing it, thinking, I won't have that problem. I don't have enough money for it to be an issue. But it's also an issue even for the lower income folks, because it can cause your Medicare premiums to go up, and it can cause your Social Security to be more taxable. You know, there's different.
That's a great point, because people don't necessarily understand how Medicare premiums are based upon your adjusted gross income. And so that could push you into higher premiums down the road.
All right, so you add all that up, and yeah, you're taking more money with your required minimum distributions, but you're really not getting the bang for your buck.
Yeah, and there's a situation where people probably maybe are only 50% taxed on their Social Security benefits, or maybe not, but like I say, I don't need any money from my IRAs, but at a certain point, you have to start taking distributions, those required minimum distributions, and all of a sudden, those come into the mix. Can take you, for example, we were talking also about the 12% tax bracket for married filing jointly as a range of 19,000 and change to 77,400. So to get bumped over that and say you're up against it, because when you kind of get there, I was talking about two Social Security checks, a little pension, and they're at 55K in income. And all of a sudden you have 30,000. An RMD shows up, well, that starts pressing you over that bracket. So once again, all this little bit adds up.
So I was looking at some trends. Is people who are leaving their house in retirement, is that more popular than people who stay put? Now I need to kind of define that. People who want to travel, people go visit the kids, maybe get an RV. They spend a lot of time on the road. and the house is just kind of their resting point between adventures. Is that more popular or less popular than it used to be?
To keep their primary home?
Yeah, to keep a primary home, but you're all over the place. You're out the house. You're visiting. You're going on trips. You're going on vacations. Maybe you are doing the RV thing.
I had a client that's relocating to the East Coast, and one of the things that she's important in positioning assets and stuff and leveraging a little bit to make sure the assets can have some help if a long-term care situation occurs. But her point was, I want to finish life in my home. She doesn't want to go to a care facility. And her thing was to make sure she's positioned to do that in that case. And for the most part, I don't see people wanting to shed their home. There was a family I talked to not too long ago, and one of their thoughts was, well, we need to transition to a retirement type village, I'll say it, which is also, they can handle the assisted living and such as that transition. But one of the things was the cost of that was not in their realm, but they were considering, let's sell the house and can this work for us mathematically? And we've had some conversations where people would like to transition like that, but that can be some pretty good money that goes out. I had a case a while back where somebody, you know, basically said, we bought a motor home and we're traveling the country. Well, what about your residence? Oh, we sold that. They said, well, when we get through this, we'll sell the motorhome and find another place to live. So they do plan to transition back into a home that's planted on the ground, so to speak.
But they're free birds right now.
But they're free birds for a while. Maybe they just pull up somewhere and say, you know what? This is the next home. I don't know. So I would say most people stick with the home.
Yeah, I kind of think of my grandmother's. One lived in the hometown, same hometown she was born in, we were all born in. She almost never went anywhere. The other grandmother would stay 2 months at her sister's house, who lived in a different state. She'd stay 2 months at, you know, one of her daughter's house, my aunt. Then she'd stay for a while with us, and then she'd go live in her house for a couple months. She was all over the place. So it turns out these people that are all over the place, it looks like they're getting to be more prevalent than they used to be. Also, the next trend, though, what is out is people actually taking a full retirement first time they try it. What is in now is these people that slide into retirement. Either you take up gigs or you work on a part-time basis or you turn into the popular word consultant.
We do see a lot of that where they shift to consulting, and there's a number of professions that works pretty well, as well as I kind of also look at that. Yeah, I'm going to reduce time. I'm going to dial it back, or I'll leave this job, but I'm going to pick up that one. But they're reducing their work roles.
And the next one I read here makes total sense, is what is running out of style in retirement is being mortgage free. And what is becoming more common for those in retirement is having debts, but keeping it manageable. So when you pass away and you still owe money on your house.
Well, when you go and build an income plan and if your income fits your lifestyle, you know, and as long as that income that's being generated covers that mortgage. And I do bring up, there was a discussion recently, and recently it's kind of common. Well, we're retiring, but we're going to update one of the vehicles, or we're going to update the car. And one of the things I kind of remind them is, you know, retirement's about 30 years. Now, you know, I don't know that we'll be driving much when you're 85 or something, just throwing that out there. But I don't know of vehicles that last 30 years. And heck, none of us may need cars then, because Uber's running the world, or self-driving cars or whatever. Who knows where technology goes? But generally, you're probably changing out a vehicle. So does that fit into the budget or income plan?
Yeah. In fact, you probably want to budget for in about 10, 20 years to buy that self-driving vehicle, because you're not going to be able to drive anymore. So it'll come at just the perfect time. There's going to be that one generation. They're going to slide from being able to drive right into the self-driving car and not miss a beat.
And not lose mobility.
That'd be great.
So that could be what we see coming over the next few decades.
All right, so the next trend we see in retirement, this isn't even a financial one, but it's a beautiful one, and that is the old stereotype of someone who retires and they just get isolated in their house and become a shut-in. That's happening so fewer and fewer because these little computers and doodads, people are connected. And even though you're not seeing other people face-to-face, you're still getting that human connection, and we're seeing less issues with isolation in retirement.
Yeah, I really think you should be active and seek out activities, do things. Maybe it is get out there and travel a little bit, but do things. Don't just quit on life, sit there on the couch. And what I find for the most part is people really don't have problems finding stuff to do. They probably look back and say, I don't know how I had time to work in that case, but they get themselves busy in that case. So sometimes when you look at it now and you see somebody, well, heck, they just retired and they passed away. Well, that was probably why they retired, was because they're ill, is probably more of the case. I don't know the stats on that, but when you associate it, yeah, that's probably more of the case.
Well, you and I have had the conversation that no one's a technophobe anymore. There's almost no such thing as someone who is befuddled by technology in 2019. 80-year-olds are on Facebook just throwing pictures around left and right and doing messages. And
yeah, it's very commonplace now, where a decade it was like, this is all foreign. I don't do this.
All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Are you looking to build some tax-free income? Multiple streams of income is what you should be thinking about. How many sources of income? There's a conversation I had today. For example, two Social Security pension income from at four sources. What they were missing is some tax-free income into the mix. I have a book I want to send out to you. Let's start a conversation. Let's start a movement. A friend of mine wrote this, and I want you to read it and start thinking about creating some tax-free income. Taxes are discounted right now. It's going to be higher in the future. I would rather pay the taxes now and create tax-free income for the future. Just simply, here's the email address. Tell them you want the book about the new tax rules or the tax-free income. Just what it's the only book I'm sending out. Just ask for the book. It's going to you in the mail. So that tells you right there what you need to help us out to get that book out to you and follow up with you. info@gregoryricks.com. And if you want to ring up our off-hour staff and give them information to get the book, it's 504-832-9200. That's actually my office number. So you could use that number for a number of things if you want to come into a visit and so forth. But info@gregoryricks.com. And you know the website is gregoryricks.com.
All right. You mentioned in the first segment you had a client story dealing about annuities. What's the annuity story? Because you just did a segment on the Saturday show, the difference between all the types of annuities.
Well, people do want risk adverse. They want to make some money, but they do want to take risk off the table. And it's something we spoke about the other day on the show. In my newsletter a few months ago, kind of talked about, you know, I think it was like 40 things you might not know about annuities. And one of them, and it was asked me the other day, is kind of like, could you explain this difference between variable and fixed annuities regarding risk? And I said, here, make it real easy for you. Variable annuity, it's an insurance contract, basically a wrapper for mutual funds, but you carry the risk of the investments inside of it. On a fixed annuity, there's a floor. The insurance carries the risk of the investments. You do not. That's kind of a core difference. So yeah, we've had a number of conversations, like people come in and say, well, I've got this block of money, but I really don't want to put it on the risk. Is there someplace I can get some return, but not expose it to the market? And yeah, so we kind of give them ideas of how they can do that. You know, we're a money manager, we're a planner. and we deal in income and investments, many areas, but some of that conversation is, are you wanting risk or do you want to avoid risk? And that ties to something else we have to figure out. What is that risk number? So that tells us how much their, what their balance should be in that case.
Yeah. And the differences though, right there between the annuities that are fixed and variable are so stark that oftentimes the same firm can only sell one or the other.
Well, here's the variable is you have to have a variable insurance license, but that's also got to run through a broker dealer. Variable life, variable annuities are on the securities, the Wall Street side. So they have to have, and for example, in the state of Louisiana, as an example, you have to have a variable license and be with basically a broker dealer for somebody to get a variable product. Now on a fixed side, all they need is an insurance license, a life license, so to speak. And they don't have to have a securities Wall Street firm tie-in for somebody to pick up that. And so what you're referring to is a lot of case, the securities firms are not dual licensed. Oh, they'll help you with the risk, but they can't help you on the safe side, where a firm like ours is dual licensed, that we work on the Wall Street world and we work on the insured money world, because it's most people in some way are always kind of dealing with both from that standpoint.
Well, as far as the financial professionals go though, that's a small breed, because I think last year you were bringing up the numbers of people who can actually work in all worlds, actual fiduciaries who have all the licenses. And there
it's
was like
a small
what?
Percentage of the industry,
like 3,000 people in the whole country out of like 100,000 or so financial professionals, with a very, very loose definition.
Yeah,
of what
I don't know that we're accurate on those stats. I have to go back and look that up, but everybody's not dual licensed. That's a fact. More of them are just Wall Street licensed.
All right. Was there a specific client story from today or something? Because the way you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, I didn't know if you had something specific you wanted to nail down or something you've just been seeing
a few people coming with. It was conceptually, but it just seems that a lot of people have been coming in that, whether it's existing clients or new coming on board. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of concerns on where things are at. It just gives you a little bit different vibe of what people are asking for in that case. And then hey, mixed on the opposite side still. I had a couple come in and we've been working with them for a while, but on some of their money, they're kind of like, yeah, the conversation shifted to, I take it that you're not as at risk adverse with this block of money. You would just kind of rather link it to the market and let it roll. And they looked at each other and said, yeah, that's pretty accurate. That's what we're kind of wanting to do. We're going to be fine with just staying the course with some of that money. I said, well, okay, we can do that too.
I've also heard you hit people upside the head with the difference in the way they're feed. Variable annuities, heavy fee, fixed annuities, less so.
Well, that's a good point. Variable, typically what we say, has a range of 2 to 4%. That makes those kind of expensive, where... And that's internal fees within that product. There might, the rep or whoever handles it for you might have an additional fee on top of that. But those are internal fees. Typically on a fixed annuity where you're doing indexed linked investing, there typically is not a fee deducted from that account. Now, if you're adding an income rider to guarantee lifetime income, there could typically be a small fee for that ranges subject to how that rider is designed.
All right, Randolph and Gretna, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Randolph?
Yes, sir. I'm planning to retire in the next year or two, and I was wondering about your opinion on index universal life.
Index Universal Life is a fixed product, so it would have a floor on the values inside of the Universal Life. Think of Universal Life as a bucket holding water. Universal Life is a bucket holding money. And interest credits go in, premiums go in, and mortality costs are taken out of that. but the growth or return is indexed typically to like the S&P 500. So you can get up the upside of the market subject to a cap, but it does have a floor that you're not directly in, you're just linked. So you do not have market risk there. It's a good strategy for that purpose. It's one of the things that we consider when we're shopping for clients.
Is that what you were looking for, Randolph?
Yes, sir, indeed. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And also, segue into the indexing. How about the fixed index annuities rather than just variable annuities? Would that be a better vehicle?
Well, I'm biased a little bit. I'm not a big fan of variable annuities because of the market risk. You know, typically when people think about annuities, they're thinking more of the safe side, not the risk side, as I see it. But variable is kind of more expensive and has risk. It's just, you know, why you need to pay 2-4% for a mutual fund wrapper, where a fixed indexed annuity typically is not going to have a fee and does not expose you to market risk, but it does give you gains subject to caps and spreads. So it is conservative, but it by no means subjects you to not making money. You have upside with that.
Thank you very much, Randolph and Gretna. If you want to be next, got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. It's the Money Show. I'm the Money co-host. If you have a money problem, make the money call, 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. And also, we just did the website update, and we got the remodel out just a few weeks ago. So then we turned our attention to the app.
We updated the app?
Yeah, one of the big changes here is we made an extra couple of icons. Number one, you know, you have your guided planning system, MyGPS. We put a link to that on the front screen. We took off share and we put in MyGPS. Now, GPS was always there under the Gregory Ricks and Associates tab on our partners, but I put another copy of it under the More tab. It's just we've had a couple people call in and looking for it, say, hey, how do I log in and look at my stuff on the app? And, you know, when someone on your staff walks them through it, I'm just trying to cut some of that off. So I put it on the front screen, left it where it was, and added another one in the More category.
Oh, no. Could we change that to like a teardrop look? Something just that square is just like ordinary.
Oh, you don't like the button square, the square buttons there?
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of limited on what I can do.
What if it is buttons, like round buttons?
Let me take a look into that.
I don't know. Just something a little different. But I do like that. I like that My GPS button there. That is awesome. See, did we update the photos that we were talking about?
Why don't you go look? It's under the Winning at Life gallery on the More site. And yeah.
Okay. We've got to add some more to it, though. How about that?
It only lets us put up 10 pictures. So,
10?
Yeah, so we've got to keep it to this amount. But if you want to put...
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought we could do 20, but scrolling through...
Well, we've got a bazillion.
I like what we have. As long as we're in them, I'm good, huh?
Yeah, hey, good shot of the Harley girls there. Thanks to Del Condro over at New Orleans Harley. He was at the beer festival at the Nova Motor Speedway.
And we got a couple pictures in there with Maestro and the studio that we used to do the show in. Till we upgraded the studio.
Look, and then here's one where we're in the old TV studio. Remember that?
Yes, that is a throwback. It goes back, what, 8 years ago? 7-8 years ago.
I think the TV thing was 2014, something to that effect. But we're constantly making upgrades. Something else that we've always had, we just haven't been mentioning it quite as much as we should, is that when you listen to the live stream, you're going to get all of our live shows. But also on Saturdays, you get a bonus. You get Mortgage Gumbo. He comes on. He's our spinoff show, and he's been on our stream this whole time, and we just haven't said it enough. So if you go to the Listen Live, there's a button on the front screen for that as well. It just reminds you what the schedule is, when we're on, when Dwayne's on. So this the live stream that you listen to our show through the app, it's actually piggybacking off the iHeartRadio stream for our flagship station, News Talk 99.5 WR in New Orleans. So, yeah, and there you are listening to yourself on the phone.
Yeah, just I clicked it and it just opened right up.
And yeah, and as a byproduct of that, since Dwayne comes on after us, this works out great for both of our stations that are listening right now, 99.5 WRNO in New Orleans, News Talk 104.9 WBUV over in Gulfport, Biloxi, for our friends over on the Mississippi coast. Both of y'all, you can listen to the Mortgage Gumbo either live on the air after the show on Saturdays or flip over to the app. You can listen on our app. You can catch Mortgage Gumbo as well.
That's pretty cool. So download the app. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. Text, call, email us.
When we talk about the Total Wealth Authority, they're on the app. There's the partner section. You can go straight over to Dwayne Stein, Wes Blanchard, Jude Heath, some of our sponsors you hear the commercials for. You can find their contact info on the Winning at Life app. So if you hear Mosquito Joe and you're sick of getting your ankles all bit up now that the weather's kind of getting a little milder, warming up on you, there's a Mosquito Joe button there too. You can just go look at his rundown and give him a call.
So once
right
again,
from
where
app.
Is that?
Under at? Partners.
Partners.
Yeah.
Okay, I see that. It's right there at the bottom. Oh, Gregory Ricks and Associates.
It's a hell of a financial firm. Yeah. Those guys are good.
That's what I hear. And the Total Wealth Authority, Mosquito Joe, I like him. I tell you what, because I don't like mosquitoes, that's for sure. Dwayne Stein, Wes, and Jude Heath. Awesome.
Yeah, so when you hear these guys as a guest on our show, and you're like, oh, you know what? I like that. I need to call them. Get the app. Mosquito Joe, get the app. You want to text Gregory? Because what I tell them, I've started telling them this, Gregory, when you're out, so you might not have heard me say this. When you're out on assignment at a convention or fighting crime or whatever you do when you're not here, I tell them if you need financial advice, you can't.
Stamping out socialism.
Oh, I hope that's what you're doing behind my back. But since they can't call in and get advice from you on the show at the time, I tell them they can still use the text feature from the app, and that question will go to you, and you'll get an answer whenever you can sit down and cover all these questions.
Yeah, we
may not happen immediately.
But, like if you texted something, use the app, text us something, question or whatever, and kind of say, well, I couldn't get to them on the show. You text, we are getting that, and it will be addressed tomorrow. And somebody will reach out, email you back, call you, whatever you need to get that question answered. It's just kind of like a great resource. Well, I don't know the answer, but Gregory and his people, I'm sure, know it. Well, test us. Send us a text. Reach out to us through the app. We'll get back to you.
Carol, New Orleans, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Carol?
How you doing? Yes. So I turned 30 next month. I bought a house last year. And I have $1,000 in this. I don't know if you've heard of Stash, but I have about $1,000 in this investing group. And so basically what my question is, what advice do you have for somebody? I'm new to this, so I'm trying to figure out what's the best way of going about either saving and investing. I know that's kind of different things, but I'm just trying to figure out the best way of going about this moving forward, if that makes sense.
Now, at the beginning of the call, you said, I think you shared a dollar amount. Was that accurate? Because it cut out.
Yes, about $1,000.
Okay. Well, one thing I think is important, it's like the foundation of a house. It's really important a house has a great foundation, and emergency money is your foundation. So you need to make sure you have some money put away to cover several months of expenses. I'm not going to try to put a dollar on it because it varies by household, by income. But if somebody's retiring, I think kind of a core base, most of our conversations is 50K there, because you don't want your have to hit your investment dollars if you're needing income for fixing that AC or those set of tires because you hit a bunch of potholes or something in some city somewhere. But I think that's a real good amount. And then the money you go and put to work, you need to think about that long term, because you need to have that money compounding and building. It's not your emergency money. And then you just keep adding to it systematically as you go. And if you have a retirement plan at work, you want to take advantage of that. But you sound young.
29, that's 20, young.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so here's the magic, is compounding and tax-free. You know, like utilize a Roth. And then when you make some good investment choices and you really have some success there, that stuff's growing tax-free. really can be powerful.
Do you have the employee plan at work, Carol?
Yes, I do.
You getting the match?
No, they don't match.
Okay. Well, if they have a Roth option, that's where you can put money away and take advantage of that. But just Roth creating tax-free income is powerful. One thing we're certain is later in life, Carol, we're going to pay more in taxes. So let's make sure we can avoid some of it.
Does that help, Carol?
Okay. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for listening. Be safe. I'm like she was driving down the road.
It did.
Well, always be safe.
Of course. Of course. You know, 29, that feels late when you're 29, but there's like 40, 50-year-olds who haven't started yet who are looking at Carol and jealous. Oh, if I was only as smart as she was.
And think about with genetic research and everything that's going on, and now they're learning to, instead of taking a pill, it's they're going to do something and structure cells to react to this differently by giving it a set of instructions and no telling where life expectancy goes and how long retirement is. But one of the things we generally say is, well, retirement, you know, life expectancy for everybody's late 70s. But remember, Carol, when you make it to 65, that's going to be over age 90 for you. So, you know, if you kind of say, I'm pushing the button to retire at 60, well, you've got 30 plus years to look at.
Maybe Carol needs
that's why that money's important in tax-free income. And yeah, if you want to talk about tax-free income, we're trying to start a movement. I have a book I want to send out to you for you to read, and it's going to go to you in the mail, and we can start a conversation about creating tax-free streams of income. And just ask for the book. It's info@gregoryricks.com. Just tell them, hey, I want the book on the new tax rules, or just say tax-free income. We'll send it out to you. Hey, we do have an event coming up next Tuesday, the 16th.
Yeah,
so if you would like to RSVP, it's in Madisonville, Keith Young's Steakhouse, Wine, Wisdom, and Food. Reach out to us, also info@gregoryricks.com, or the office number 504-832-9200.
I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.